Happy Friday. Welcome to Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered. Those of you who have not yet done so, just a reminder to go, if you're watching this on YouTube, I've made it very, very easy for you, okay? Go to the description of this episode and click the link at the very top of the YouTube description and go subscribe to our audio podcast. And it just, the more people who subscribe, the more it helps us in the algorithm. By the way, while you're there, go ahead and give us a 5-star rating and a review. 5 stars, obviously. And actually, you know, we used to read some of those reviews. I think we're going to start doing that again. So give us a good review. And if you're, I don't know, particularly creative or funny or flattering, we might show your review in a future episode of Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered. No, we quite literally, like, we are very biased. The nicer you are, the more likely that we are to show your review. So we were coming on to record this today. We tape a little bit earlier than normal on Fridays and apparently got word that a person, who am I to just assume one's gender in this day and age in 2024. A person, which, by the way, I don't even know if that's appropriate anymore. A being, okay, apparently set themselves on fire outside of the courthouse of Donald Trump's hush money payment trial. And I believe from what the report said, this person was in the protest area outside of the courthouse and just set himself on fire for whatever reason. We're going to play it. It's graphic, as you can imagine. It is someone actually setting themselves on fire and on fire. So it is graphic. We're going to play that. And there he is, just standing there. I wonder if he regrets his decision. And I would imagine that is probably this person screaming. Falls to the ground. Something flew out from his body, I'm not sure what. And here come the police, like, what the hell? Why did this person just do this? I mean, I heard that the Donald Trump trial was going to be lit, but I think that they took that to a whole new level. Look, it's really hard to feel sorry for someone who sets themselves on fire. I don't know why this person did it. I don't know who they are, what side of the fence they're on. I do know that they must be absolutely insane and crazy. Perhaps Trump broke them. But it's really hard to feel sorry for someone who sets themselves on fire for any reason, really. Like, you play stupid games, win stupid prizes, I guess. Okay, we'll find out more about this particular crazy person. No shortage of things to talk about this Friday. So inside the courtroom, there were a few more potential jurors who were dismissed today. This is, of course, day 4, one of whom apparently had previous criminal convictions that disqualify her from serving on the jury. So great work to New York City keeping up with all of your juror roles. That's awesome. Because she was the one actually who had to tell on herself, like, Judge, I'm really sorry, but I don't actually think I should be here because I have a prior criminal convictions that I've served time for. So I'm sure she's also registered to vote. So good news for her. The other juror was dismissed because her ties to Chris Christie and Trump hater Michael Cohen prevented her from being impartial. And she had anxiety about the matter, she said. She had a lot of anxiety. Okay, good. Thanks for the honesty. Goodbye. Good riddance. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. All right. Every day that passes and this trial becomes more and more real and people are like setting themselves on fire over a freaking trial, I just have a really hard time swallowing what we have become. Like, the sides screaming about fascism are the fascists and they're literally trying to imprison their political opponent by throwing 91 bogus indictments at him to see what sticks. And I know I was the person who was telling everyone as we were going through the beginning of this, when he was at, I don't know, maybe just like five indictments at the beginning of this weaponization of the judicial system. I was, of course, the one who was saying to people who were saying, they're not actually going to throw him in prison. They wouldn't actually do that. And I'm like, have you met the Democrats? Of course they would. And it's even hard for me to stomach. Okay. But I look around and I go, is it just us? Is it just conservatives who are actually paying attention? Like, are we the only ones that understand the severity of unprecedented lawfare being waged against political opposition? And I'll give you a little bit of silver lining today on this Friday. The answer is no. It's not just us. And I don't want you to take my word for it, okay? Because I'm obviously a very vocal, opinionated conservative. I'm very biased, and I'm happy to be biased, and I'm happy to admit that I'm biased, okay? So instead, take ESPN commentator and I would say generally unlikable Democrat Stephen A. Smith's word for it. All right, I'm going to play him in his own words, what he had to say last night on Hannity.
When I think about Donald Trump, I think about this case in New York. I mean, I'm looking at the Democrats right now. And again, primarily, I have voted Democrat throughout my life, but I'm utterly disgusted with what I'm seeing, because it seems to me that they're trying to use the law and the courts. They've clearly politicized this thing with Donald Trump because they can't come up with a strategy to offset the momentum he's clearly gained. In at least five polls, he's up. He's up in the polls over Biden, at least five polls that I counted. That's the reality of the situation, despite the counts against them, the indictments against them, being impeached twice and all of this other stuff. He is the presumptive GOP nominee, and you don't seem to have the issues in your favor, you believe. So because of that, you're going to manipulate the system as best as you possibly can to avoid him possibly running for re-election again. That appears to be their strategy, but I'm here to tell you it's not working.
This guy hates Donald Trump. He hates him, and even he can see it. And by the way, he wasn't done there. He went on his own podcast yesterday and doubled down also. Watch.
I have called the Democrats an embarrassment. I have said there's no excuse for not being able to find someone other than a soon-to-be 82-year-old incumbent to compete against Trump. I have said it's pretty damn pathetic that a person has been indicted, okay, with four charges, 91 counts, impeached twice, is somebody that you still can't touch, that you're engaging in lawfare because you can't beat them. I do recall saying that. Ladies and gentlemen, let me be very, very clear so everybody understands where I'm coming from. I meant that. I meant every word. Now, again, I don't have to call you a coward, but do I think you're scared? Yeah, you look scared.
I mean, they are cowards.
You look like you are depending on the courts to beat him because you can't. You can't. He's just storming ahead. Meanwhile, Biden's losing momentum.
So clear. Even a crazy Democrat like Stephen A. Smith gets it. And, you know, it just has me thinking, like, is there a political climate in which Joe Biden and the Biden regime ever gets away with something like this without Americans realizing it, without even Democrats going, guys, this is wrong. We see what you're doing. We see that you're weaponizing the entire system. This is wrong. Like, is there a political climate in which that exists? And I just keep thinking, maybe, I don't know, but maybe they could get away with it if things were going well in this country, right? If Americans weren't also dealing with the reality of a Joe Biden regime, they would call it presidency. I just call it regime. Maybe if the economy was good, maybe if our border was secure, we weren't dealing with inflation or high gas prices or sky high mortgages, or we didn't already have a whole hell of a lot of problems we were dealing with on a daily basis, Americans might be able to overlook the weaponization of the judicial system against a presidential candidate. But this is Joe Biden's America, guys. And everything sucks. It's all bad. And people feel that, right? Like, your everyday American, it doesn't matter if you've previously voted Democrat or Republican or Independent or Green Party or whatever the hell other party. People feel that. I mean, unless you're, I don't know, a mentally deranged leftist. I know, that's repetitive. I repeat myself. That's the same thing. Mentally deranged leftist. Unless you're one of those, or an elitist up there in your ivory tower already having, you know, just raked in so many millions of dollars that paying the 30% increase in your grocery bill makes absolutely no impact. You can't even tell there's a difference. All those illegal immigrants coming across the border don't matter to the liberal elitists who, by the way, I noticed, don't want to house any of them in their mansions. They'll just step over them on their way to a fancy restaurant. They're lying in the streets. I'll just step over you. But, you know, their neighborhood's gated. So what do they care about all those problems? But I've noticed, do you know who does care? Everyone else, literally everyone else. And I want to play for you a man in Philadelphia saying, I think what the rest of us are saying, feeling, thinking for the last 3 years now. Watch.
So my thing is, you know, you got all these people here for this guy named Biden, right? We got a lot of people, veterans in the street, suffering. You got low-income families where he actually came to visit, struggling, but you got migrants, immigrants coming over here illegal, and they're helping people. When are you going to help American people? That's what I would like to know, you know? And then you pull our troops from Afghanistan, make us look weak as a country. Now people don't take us serious. They laugh at us. They look at us like a joke. And then not on top of that, you're not like mentally capable of running a country, bro. Get, you know?
Like, who is?
Trump. Trump is, listen, he's quick to push buttons, but that's what we need. We need an iron fist for this country. Because Biden, I mean, Biden, he's going through Alzheimer's. He's a joke. Trump, he don't play around, man. He gets things done, and he gets, you see action. You see action, man. He gets things done. We don't need this piece of in office. We need, I'm sorry, my bad.
In Philadelphia, okay, Joe Biden has lost black men in Philadelphia as a Democrat. I would say things are not going well. So I guess, I don't know, I guess if I were him, I'd be pretty insecure about the next election also. Now, I wouldn't throw my political opposition in prison because I was scared to lose, but I'm also not a fascist. Obviously, just look around. I don't think we can say the same for Joe Biden. All right. So let's go ahead and take a quick break. We will be back with more with our panel on this Friday. You're not going to want to miss it. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Preborn. So Preborn is a ministry that their mission is very simple. They want to save all the babies. How do they do that? Well, they take these young women who are coming into their network of clinics. They're scared about, you know, they're pregnant. They're scared about having the baby. They're being told that they can't do it on their own. They're being told that it's too expensive. They can't afford it. They're going to be poor. It's just a clump of cells. Don't worry about it. You're not going to regret it. It's just going to be a simple procedure and then it's over. They're being fed all of these lies. And what Preborn does for these women is they actually show them the truth on ultrasound. These women get to go in and actually see their baby, see that it is not just a clump of cells. It is their baby that God has entrusted them to take care of. They get to hear the heartbeat. And those of you who are parents know this, it's a life-changing moment anytime, the first time. The first time you hear it, especially, it changes you. And you feel that much more connected to your baby, which you should, because it's yours. So oftentimes the women is like, twice as likely to choose life when they are shown the truth by Preborn. $28 is the cost of an ultrasound. So I'm going to challenge you guys. How many babies' lives can you save? Okay. Donate securely over at preborn.com/Sarah. But just know every $28 that you spend could be the difference between life and death of a baby. It's preborn.com/Sarah. Donate securely over at preborn.com/Sarah. Welcome to the show this lovely Friday. Matthew Marsden, Blaze TV contributor and actor and producer extraordinaire, along with Eric July, Blaze TV contributor and founder of Ripaverse Comics. Did you guys catch that guy that set himself on fire? I can't get over it. I assume guy.
I think we're going to see more of it, to be honest, because it's, I mean, if you think, I don't know the last time where I saw something like that. And then you got the guy, the Air Force guy, right, that did it.
Yeah.
And now this guy's done it, which is, I mean, we have a real bad mental health problem in this country. I mean, people are crazy. I mean, why would you do that over a politician?
Yeah. I mean, if the trash wants to take itself out.
I don't know, man. That's just, there are more just efficient saying. Ways, for sure. I just don't understand. I guess maybe it is part of the doom and gloom that's caught grip on so many people, in not just this country, but the world, that they feel like they have to go out there and send a message and by lighting themselves on fire. What message that is?
You're crazy. That's the message you're sending. You are absolutely crazy. That's it.
The message itself, if it's effective, or what the hell the message
is. It's very effective. I now know that you're crazy. It's very effective.
So maybe not to their message, but to we know that there are folks, and to your point, that have some mental issues, because wanting to light yourself up on fire is already signifying that you have some problems, and doing it over these silly reasons that they're doing it is insane. Like a guy setting himself on fire because of what's going on in Palestine and Israel, and that's just insane. That's that at that point you're a nutty person. Like, you would think that you have more to live for. I would think as an individual. And it's not like, hey, you set yourself on fire. Has this conflict been resolved?
Right. Well, and I mean, going to the Palestine and Israel issue, someone set themselves on fire. It's like, well, if you care that deeply about the issue, just like go there and fight. If you're willing to die, which I'd imagine you're willing to die if you set yourself on fire, okay? If you're willing to die,
take some of the enemy out with you.
Right, like just go do that thing that you're that passionate about, rather than just being like, hey, I'm gonna take this match and see what happens.
You know what's concerning about that? That's the same mentality as the suicide bombers.
I know. I know.
And it's only a matter of time, I think, before they're going to start saying, well, hang on a second. Because the truth of the matter is, if they really thought it through, they'd realize it goes something like this. Oh, someone set themselves on fire. Oh, Kardashians.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. Like, nobody, it's not like it was back in the day where the monks sat down and they protested. It's just another thing to flick across on TikTok now. Yeah. Nobody cares. I mean, I don't even know how long ago it was that guy set himself on fire outside the embassy. But everyone just moved on. I mean, listen, if we can move on about COVID and nobody gives a damn about something that shut down the entire world, nobody's going to care about a guy that sets himself on fire.
Yeah, yeah. So let's go back to what's happening with Israel and the idea of suicide bombers. I don't know. It just feels like every day we get closer and closer to World War III, which is just a little bit unnerving. So Israel, of course, launched their retaliatory strikes to Iran, and Iran decided to try to save face on Friday morning by dismissing the reports. But Israel did strike them. It was limited in scale. And of course, there was a back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. So I could tell you it came in response to the unprecedented missile and drone barrage. It was, I think, like 350 total. Seven, I believe, actually went through. So it was limited in any sort of damage that was done, only because Israel has the Iron Dome protection that they have, right? Obviously, Israel would have been obliterated a long time ago if they did not have that. So thank God that they do have that. But Israel did finally strike back. They struck targets near the city of Isfahan. I'm going to pretend I said that correctly, which is home to the country's largest nuclear facility. I would imagine that we can expect this to just escalate between the two countries, because Iran finally said, okay, we're not doing this through our proxies anymore. We're not just going to have Hamas do it over in Palestine. We're just going to do it directly from our country, which hadn't happened previous. So escalation, escalation, escalation. Where does this end? That's my question.
It's like what they call it? Like the whole Groundhog's Day? Okay. It's like, wait a minute. We're about to, because of course that conflict, it escalates. Then America gets involved in what is this, part five of Iran and the U.S.? Like, what in the hell is going on? War sucks. It always has. It's not pretty.
You say that, but it seems to me that our lawmakers really, really love it.
There's incentive for them.
They love it.
They love it. Lawmakers love it. People that run for office absolutely love it because that's a big talking point. Definitely when people feel like they are unsafe, you're going to always get it. So the entire campaign is going to be ran on, hey, I'm going to keep you guys safe. So conflict is very, very attractive to politicians. So for them, it may not suck. They just see it as an opportunity for sure. However, just looking at people that are inevitably going to be caught in a crossfire, which is often civilians, because of what Lord knows who, it's sad. It is very, very unfortunate because, as we always discuss with Israel and Palestine, it's always going to be chicken and the egg, right? Well, this is a retaliation to that. And then, well, depending on what side you're on, they're going to say, well, that was in retaliation to that, you know, because you did this. And then how far we go back, it just depends on how. Either way, it just seems like it's an inevitable conflict.
Which I just want to be clear. Like, I know this is just Sarah Gonzalez speaking for Sarah Gonzalez. I know which side of that argument I believe is correct, which is Israel, right? But that's the point that I was trying to make earlier is like, I mean, you can go back to this. This was because of, you know, this in response to this, in response to this. Of course, Palestine likes to go back like a long time.
Yeah, a century if they,
and they're like, we attacked you October 7th because of something that happened a really long time ago. And it's like, you can't play that game anymore.
Yeah. It's like when you annoy your wife. If you annoy your wife, you know, and you'll be there at dinner and she'll be like off with you and you go, what's wrong? Not my wife, by the way. My wife is awesome. And they'll go like, you'll say, like, what's wrong? What's wrong? She'll go, do you remember when I asked you for the salt and we were at this restaurant? And you'd be like, it was 4 years ago. Yeah, well, you didn't send it to me. You didn't pass it to me. No, but look, I mean, look, these things are very, very complicated. And again, Sarah, you know, we were talking about this before that, my stance on it is, what is our situation, right? Like, because they're going to do whatever they're going to do anyway, clearly. I mean, we do have a very, very strong president that said don't.
Wait, he kind of muttered it.
Don't. I'm just glad he said that. I mean, that he had something coherent to come out and say. But what we have to be mindful of is the blowback here. And I know we've said it 1,000 times. There are sleeper cells in the United States, and they will be triggered. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And when it does, that's when you're looking at something very, very serious. Personally, I mean, I know there's the back and forth. Again, I think that Israel is absolutely right in their responses. I wish they hadn't have responded this particular time because nothing really got through. And I know you can say, well, you know, it's only because of XYZ. I get it, but this is what the mullahs want. They want to escalate it. They want to drag other countries in. They want to drag America in. They want to do that. So I just, you know, just me, I just wish that they hadn't have done it this time because, all right, they can hit those locations precisely every time, but I just wish they hadn't because I feel like it has escalated it again and they're going to want to actually do some real damage next time.
Yeah.
Because if you think about Iran was like, hey, listen, we're going to attack you next week.
Right. Right. But I mean, but you can understand, like, for me, I'm like, they just launched 350 drones, missiles, whatever, at my country. Of course we're striking back. Who cares how many didn't get through? Because you don't play around with us. You don't mess with our country like that.
But they know that.
I can understand that.
But they know that. I mean, look, the Iranians were funding the majority of the Iranians killed more American troops than anybody else in Iraq. Yeah. Right? Because they were funding that. That's why killing Soleimani was such a great thing. I mean, that guy was evil, and they're responsible.
Hold on, who did that?
Yeah. I'm not, I can't do it. The other guy died like a dog. Died like a dog. On his knees, like a dog.
I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, Trump killed him. So remember that. Remember when we had actually a strong, competent
president who wasn't getting us, you know, seemingly getting the globe into all sorts of foreign conflict.
And isn't it amazing that every single thing that the left said that Trump would do, Biden has done?
Yeah, yeah.
But look, I think that, and we see this all the time because the Israelis are constantly getting bombed. They're constantly showing restraint, So again, I understand it, right? It's not like I object to what they did at all. Yeah. I do think, and again, this is a little bit of clarification, though you think the same, is that standing with Israel doesn't mean that we have to fund them. That's a very...
Or get in, or send troops or into send their troops war or anything or like that. Yeah.
But again, of course, I think that they are justified in their response. I just personally wish that they hadn't, because you're right. That was an opportunity where, like, October 7th, they had to respond because it was a massacre. It was disgusting what happened. Nobody actually got killed this time, right, with the Iranian attack. So you could argue that that was the point where they could go, okay, let's, and maybe this next retaliation that went back over to Iran, maybe they'll back off a little bit so they know it's not going to ramp up unless they really want to. Yeah. And if they do, there's nothing we can do anyway because it's just going to go through the roof. Yeah.
Okay, so speaking of the potential for World War III, we got to take a break. And then when we come back, I want to talk about the FBI making the statement that Chinese hackers are preparing to attack the United States infrastructure. Things are going really great. Yay, Biden. Awesome. Woohoo. We'll be right back.
Got something to say? Leave Sarah a message at 888-969-5113.
FBI Director Christopher Wray was sounding the warning bells for Americans yesterday at the Vanderbilt University Summit on Modern Conflict and Emerging Threats, saying that Chinese government-linked hackers have already infiltrated into critical infrastructures, which, you know, sounds
to the
really
average
awesome.
Person, critical yeah. infrastructure is largely invisible. These are sectors whose existence we don't often think about or appreciate as long as they're working right. But these vital sectors, we're talking about everything from water treatment facilities and energy grids to transportation and information technology, form the backbone of our society. And what a lot of Americans may not be tracking closely is that China is positioning its enormous hacking enterprise, remember, 50 to 1, for more than just the outrageous theft campaign I described a few minutes ago. It's using that mass, those numbers, to give itself the ability to physically wreak havoc on our critical infrastructure at a time of its choosing. The PRC has made it clear that it considers every sector that makes our society run fair game in its bid to dominate on the world stage, and that its plan is to land low blows against civilian infrastructure to try to induce panic and break America's will to resist.
Great. So what are we going to do about that, Chris? And also, no duh, right? Like, yes, this is how China has been playing its game for a very long time now. So what are we, where's the solution? I'd like a solution-oriented administration.
Do you think that it is possible that, because it's never happened before, that China would introduce a virus of some kind into the United States?
No, that would never happen.
Never happen.
That's silly. But it does make me think, what was it, yesterday or the day before, they had all of those 911 outages in all those different states in the country. Was that related?
If only we had a president that said we should bring the manufacturing home.
No one would. That's crazy, Matt. Who would ever
you know,
want
make
that?
Make chips in this country?
No.
Make drugs in this country?
It ain't just that, dude. China is manufacturing. We were talking about this like on the other set with our respective careers and how much is ran out of China. It's insane. But you find out more information on it. It has nothing to do with like just because China can provide it for cheaper because of slave labor. That has almost nothing to do with it. It's more because the American people, the American government, more accurately, is crippling its own folks mm-hmm. with all these damn regulations that do not allow folks to produce altogether, or let alone at a cheaper price. It's insane. I mean, even in the toy industry, why do you... America, believe it or not, in the toy and like sculpture, like manufacturing, has zero infrastructure. All these toys that you guys see are made in either China, Taiwan, I think India's gotten the game for the most part. It wasn't always this way, but now it is. There's zero infrastructure. If no matter how much money that you had, there's zero infrastructure for you to basically get that done in America. See, I think that he makes an argument for decentralization more than anything. That's what I hear because it's like, okay, we can't trust you.
Right.
And remember, he specifically brought the grid. There happens to be one grid that isn't attached to theirs. Maybe that's a more preferable situation because let's assume that they are successful and they hack something. We wouldn't want that to apply. We're countrywide, would we?
Right.
No, but that we would talk about solutions. To me, that sounds like more or less the solution, right? Like centralization has created a problem that these guys, you are so scared that they at some point, it seems more like it's inevitable, not if it's going to happen. It's a matter of when it's going to happen, that they're going to come in and hack something, be it our grid, be it talking about the water supply as far as treatment is concerned. That sounds like a problem. But it sounds like a you problem that you don't know how to fix, that you don't know how to more or less prevent. But sitting here saying that they may or may not do it doesn't necessarily help us. Or they 50-1, is that what he said?
I guess we know they're going to do it. We know they are.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, that's the point. Like, it's like, okay, telling us that is not necessarily helpful by any means.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, no shit.
I think
China's going to try to attack us from the inside? No way. I would have never guessed that.
So to me, what that says is look how bad it is, because we've known this for many, many years.
Right.
They're not addressing the border, right, where there's actual physical Chinese coming over, right, that can actually, you know, do an attack on it, a physical attack, let alone that. So what would happen if they shut down the grid, right? They shut down the internet, they start paralyzing things. Well, they've all got a plan to, that's what you do if you're a competent military, is then you'd start moving your pieces where they need to go. By the way, I want to tell people about this. I don't know if you guys know about this. A few years ago, there was an attack on a substation outside of San Francisco. Do you know about this? There were armed guys that shot out, they tried to shoot out fans on the electrical substation that would have sent the heat up in the substation, melt it down.
Mm.
I found out about it. You can go and look it up. It happened. We did nothing.
Hmm.
We did nothing. And here's the other thing. Our electrical grid is antiquated. Russia and China both have a grid now that's been updated. Ours is like from, I don't know if it's even from the 1950s. That would cost to completely change our entire electrical grid about $9 billion. Why are we sending money to Ukraine? Why are we doing it? We're all sitting here like, okay, it's 50-1. Take the $100 billion that you send into Ukraine and hire a bunch of hackers to go to compete against the Chinese. What are we doing?
None of it ever makes sense. But China's positioned itself. I'll give you a black pill first, but then I'll give you a white one. But China has positioned itself to where if they were to do something like that, because they provide so much of our goods, they're in this weird position where it's like America may be even be forced to play ball. The white pill is China has its own issues, as well, especially with their own damn people.
Yeah.
So maybe something happens out of that would deter them from actually doing something. But it is something worth paying attention to.
Shouldn't be relying on that, though.
I agree.
We
should be proactive. No, we shouldn't be relying on the Chinese people to take it to their own government. No, for sure. I would agree 1,000%. I think this is where decentralization should be talked about more. I think the regulatory body, particularly in manufacturing, should be addressed immediately, like right now, as in tomorrow. That would be my argument. You should go out there, if you're a Republican especially, trying to get rid of all of these laws and regulations that really prevent the American people from producing in their own damn countries because it's too expensive.
Do you know what I think about often? Back before COVID was a thing here and it was just in China, and they sent out all of those videos of people dropping dead in the streets, and then that like literally never happened here, and nobody ever got to the bottom of like who sent those videos out,
BS.
Chinese, right, CCP propaganda to scare Americans. I mean, I would argue it would have to have been because they were just dropping dead in the streets. And that's really weird because nobody did that here for COVID. And like everyone just seemed to forget about it.
Well, and do you remember when they showed videos of them welding them into their apartment?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Like, and nobody's asking any questions. This is the issue. It is all on the American people. We can point here, we can point there, but it's all on us because people are not getting engaged. They're not asking questions. Like I said, let's just see what's going on TikTok, which is a Chinese propaganda tool as well.
Right.
And you know what was funny? I just want to just segue across to something. When we were going through yesterday, the jurors and where they got their information from. TikTok. It wasn't like maybe 6-7 years ago, it would have been Facebook, Instagram, right? It was TikTok.
Which still is a problem, I would say.
It's not all a problem.
From Facebook or Instagram either.
It's all a problem, but it's really a problem when it's TikTok.
Yes.
So, I mean, we're in a lot of trouble. And again, as Eric always, well, we all always say, can we please look after America first? Can we please stop sending money away? By the way, we don't have it anyway. But can we just sort out our own infrastructure, please?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I really honestly thought that once COVID had actually happened, there were some silver linings, but I thought that one of them would be that Americans would agree that letting China manufacture our medications is a problem. Because if there's anything that you really don't want to have a shortage of, if there were some worldwide crisis or pandemic, it's freaking medication, life-saving medication that people need. Maybe we should stop letting our enemy manufacture it and send it here. I thought, okay, Americans have seen the problem. That's something that I've been on for a while, but nobody cared. Okay, well, this happened. Maybe now Americans have woken up. Maybe now they'll care and they'll do something about the fact that we should be producing our own freaking medication. Because let's not even talk, how about take shortages out of the mix? How about China decides to taint the medication that they're sending to us? I mean, there are so many different things that they could choose to do with that. And yet Americans have they've just forgotten about it. And they're just like, well, we've got it back now. Everything's turned back on. It's totally fine.
We're a soft people.
Yeah.
We're a soft people now. There in some states, there's still, and this is something that I saw coming from England, like you can still get eaten by a wild animal in America, right? You can still die. Yeah. And that's why Europe is so soft, because we don't have that anymore. There are not those situations where like a bear's going to come down and maul you. But we've become a soft nation where we don't like being uncomfortable. And I think this is where, you know, you've got your people like Jocko Willink and all these other, mainly former military, saying, and Jordan Peterson says it as well, like, you've got to be uncomfortable. You've got to be okay with being uncomfortable. You've got to put yourself in these situations. Americans don't like it. They don't want that. You know, give me my Soma, you know, reference to Brave New World. Give me my Soma and let me go back to my life. I don't want to look, I don't want to see. This is horrible. And COVID is the classic example of that. That was tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just kind of gone,
okay, right.
Yeah, nobody's in prison.
Right.
Under the prison.
And how many lawmakers do we have still on top of that? I can think of one, Rand Paul.
He's the only one even talking about. He's the only one, like, quite literally still holding, you know, even Fauci's feet to the fire about how that whole ordeal was handled.
Yeah.
People have, like, forgot. It's out of sight, out of mind.
And, you know, nobody actually has said that where the virus came from. Still,
they haven't even admitted fault. Like, you would at least be admit, hell, we can't even get Trump to do it. I mean, I think everybody cringes when he talks about, especially that damn jab. Every time he talks about it, we're like, oh, like, can y'all at least admit y'all took an L on that one?
Right.
Like, you got that disastrously wrong. Like, not just wrong. You got it disastrously wrong. It cost people's livelihood because you got it wrong. And there are still people that will shrug and be like, yeah, we just had to do it.
And what is one of the things? I mean, I do it with my kids, right, all the time. And you use it in business, right? If someone comes up to you or you ask them a question, it shows character to say, you know what, I don't know, but I'll get back
absolutely
to you. Absolutely. Or saying, do you know what, I made a mistake there, let me rectify
it. Yes.
That is fine. And this is something that I really wish Trump would do on the vaccine.
Yeah,
right? But again, because there's so many other things going on, actually, people are letting that go for now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it still would be great to hear him say that and say, look, I did what I thought was bad. By the way, I was one of the people who's going, he's pushing his vaccine. This is great. This is great. He's initially to get it done because we didn't know at that point what was going to happen. And then the moment that we knew that it really was.
I did.
Pretty much a. Huh?
I knew.
You knew?
Eric and I knew.
Yeah, we were over there kind of. I mean, we were, it was business as planned over here at Blaze.
Yes, but
I was in the Comedy State, California.
That's what I was going to say is like, but you are, I mean, you share the same story as millions of Americans who that woke you up.
No. Totally woke me up.
To the dangers totally of the pharmaceutical.
Well, I mean.
Which I'm very grateful for. I was just
So that's what I'm saying. I mean, look, you can look at that, the process and say, he thought, let's just take those videos, for example. Yeah. You see that and whatever intel he got, because he's the president of the United States and he's thinking something really bad is going to happen. So what does he do? He moves to get the vaccine production move forward. And I didn't know, I was not aware of, which I am now, of what goes on in Big Pharma.
Right.
Right. I was not aware of that. And this was like my moment where I was like, hang on a second. But he rushed to get that forward. I was like, that's smart. Instead of, we're talking about regulation.
Yeah.
Probably the wrong thing. The regulations. But you find out there's no real regulations in that anyway.
Yeah.
But he pushed it and he said, it's going to be ready if this hits. I'm like, that's smart. And then when we realized, because the amount of time that took, you realize that it wasn't really killing anyone really. I mean, or certainly in this demographic. So when you're like, okay, well, I don't need to take it. Right. I'm going to step off on that. The fact that they kept pushing it after then, to me, was the moment where I was like, hang on a second, this is wrong. But if he was to just turn around and say, look, I was wrong on this, right? I listened to the people that advised me, and I was wrong. I think that most people would go, all right, you know, I understand, you know.
I agree. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. So very often on the show, when we talk about the issue of women's sports and keeping women's sports, you know, for women only, we always say, you know what? It's going to take the women and the girls to stop competing against biological males in order to make some headway on this. Well, there was actually a West Virginia girls track and field meet where these girls decided to do just that. This is middle school. And I feel so sorry for these girls that they actually have to do this, have to go to these lengths. But here they are. They have the trans, okay, the biological male that goes. And then these girls decide, you know what? We're going to walk up. We're going to turn back around. And we're not participating in this. We're not going to compete against a biological male. So they stepped in and then they stepped out. And I commend these young girls. I'm sure that it was not easy to make that decision, but they did it and they banded together. And we need more of this everywhere. No, there should not be another competition that takes place in this country in women's sports with a biological male that is present without every single one of these girls banding together and refusing to participate.
I just can't imagine. I know I'm the one at the table that doesn't have children yet, but I just could not imagine having like a daughter and I'm like, they're about to compete with someone that I know is a dude.
Oh, I
absolutely no way. Mm-mm. Like no way. It's Mm-mm. like, it's not happening.
You think it's, to me, every time we talk about these things, I'm like, what? Can't believe I'm here.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
like I cannot believe this is even a discussion that we're having, but God bless those girls, right? We've been calling for it over and over again. It's sad that they were the ones that had to do it. We are a bunch of spineless, weak people in this country that should be defending our children. But God bless them, their teachers, which they clearly were behind them, the school that must have been behind them. Amazing, amazing. So I personally am so, I don't know them, but I'm so proud of them.
Yeah.
So proud of them.
I know. So Eric, you mentioned, you know, being a parent, having to, I don't have girls, right? I've got two boys, so it's not something that I would need to worry about. But I do think about the parents. I'm like, if I had a girl and she was in, let's say, a contact sport, okay, so wrestling, because we've seen that. Males are wrestling, participating in wrestling.
The last show, we saw a chick get knocked out.
Get knocked out, yeah. Right. But imagine that your biological female girl is competing against a male wrestler. And I'm like, I don't, A, that would never happen for me. But it's like, imagine that it happened and you somehow didn't find out until afterwards. I don't know how I would not. That wouldn't end with me getting arrested for throwing hands.
And again, the kid expelled because something's happening.
Something's happening.
Yeah, something 1,000% has to happen.
I love what you brought up real quick.
It's crazy that we're even having this discussion. Because, by the way, guys, it was not that long ago that I was a track and field collegiate athlete. That was 10 years ago, about a decade. This was not even something that was conceptualized. Nobody in their right minds was even considering the idea that at some point dudes would be competing against women, unless it was like some obscure relay that was a mixed relay that would have like women and men on the same relay, like, or something like that. Those are sometimes cool. Not like, oh, this is the women's 100 meter dash, but there's some dude in lane four. Like, no, that was never even considered. Think about where we're at now and how fast that happened, like where we've accelerated to where not only is it happening, but God forbid you speak against it, there are folks that are actively against you. And even sadly, more sad, let's say this, there are folks out there that would much rather the sanctity of their sports be ruined than be called a homophobe, transphobe, or whatever phobe. And to me, that's even more pathetic.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. I want to play a clip from one of the most popular dating podcasts. This is the Whatever podcast. This is the state of American women these days.
So technically I'm single, but I'm also dating a tree. Yeah.
A tree?
A tree.
What?
Yeah.
Tree.
Can you boost the audio?
Would you believe?
What does that mean, a tree?
There's just a big tree.
Is this consensual?
Yeah.
Oh, what kind of tree?
So many questions.
I don't know. I have no idea what he is.
You have to learn more about him, and then
you're in a relationship with her, and she'll tell you.
I give him like little kisses and
attention.
Is it any shock to any of you? Is it any shock to any of you that young American men have stopped dating? Is that a surprise to anyone?
Look, I try to be like, because I get it, you know, you get these podcasts and the whole point is to try to, you know, you're finding these kind of weirdos that are saying weird stuff. That's the fact that someone's confident enough to just say something like that. I don't care if there is one of them is too many.
look at what she looks like. She has elf ears. She's got, I don't know, a bunch of piercings, green hair. I mean, maybe dating a tree isn't even the worst of her problems, which is really saying something.
She needs to branch out a bit.
Matthew, man.
I pine for the days where we had normal women.
Jesus Christ, man.
Well, in case you guys needed a dad joke or two.
Does she log all her dates?
I just feel so bad for young men these days. Like, why would I? These women are crazy. I'm not dating them. I'll just be alone. And honestly, who can blame them?
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.